Welcome to the Perfect Life Awakening Show, hosted by Royce Morales. Royce has been a transformational facilitator, teaching groundbreaking, spiritually based courses for more than four decades. She is the author of three books about her teachings. Join Royce as she takes you on a journey into how to live your best life and find your true purpose through discovering the origins of subconscious, disempowering notions, and releasing them. She talks with experts and inspiring people just like you who learned to trust their intuitive inner wisdom, which led to life-changing shifts. Today, her guests live an empowered existence and are helping change the world to a higher consciousness place based on truth and love. You deserve to awaken to, align with, and embody your true self and live a life filled with love. Transform yourself from triggered to empowered and create your perfect life. Here is your host, Royce Morales.
Hello. I'm so glad you're here. And I always listen to that intro about me and I think, gosh, I can't even say anything else about myself. But I just have to emphasize that there's nothing more passionate in my life than doing what I do and helping people to get to the origins of whatever it is that's stopping them, whatever fear, self-sabotage, whatever's in the way. So I always like to tell people it's not superficial. It's not about memorizing spiritual concepts or learning to phrase your affirmations right or making vision boards or faking it in any way. The work that I do is really deep. It's very profound. And I've never yet seen anyone that didn't change in some way from it. And I've kind of stopped trying to predict what those changes will be because they're really different and unique for each person. So I am so excited today. I get to talk to Sophie Breitag, and she's on the other side of the world. It's what, 3 o'clock over there, Sophie?
Hi, Royce. Yes, it's 3 a.m. Mm-hmm.
And you're in Australia.
In Australia, yes.
And you already told me you've had lots of coffee, so you'll be able to stay awake for this.
Yes. And I've got hydration as well. So I'm caffeinated and I'll be hydrated as we chat too. So okay. I'm fine.
Excellent. So let me just, I just want to introduce you in terms of how we met, first of all, which I think is really amazing. Yes. I'm on LinkedIn and I get a million people following me all the time and sending me private messages and all of this. And I usually just go, okay, thanks. But something just hit me about Sophie's message. And it's like, oh, I need to talk to this woman. So we connected and it was just, you know, the universe works in amazing ways. That's all I can say. So, yeah. And then I was reading her description, the word, I have to read to you how she, the words she used on her bio. She said, she's a kindness mentor, a workplace kindness expert, national mental health ambassador, happiness, mindfulness, and breathwork coach, barefoot walker, squeezy hugger, sunshine and rainbow chaser. I just think that's such a perfect description of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. And even have the rainbow in the background. So
yeah, the one that my son painted that one. So
aw, sweet. So on a more serious note, Sophie helps people, and I'll just read this too. She helps leaders to combine their heart-mind skills to become kinder leaders with a focus on mental health and wellness. And I just think that's so important because everybody is a leader in their own way. You know, even if it's just to lead your dog on a walk.
So, that's so true. Yeah,
it is true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she has 12 years of executive human resource experience with leadership developing and mentoring. And then she does this one-on-one mentoring, culture of kindness. And I'm going to have her tell us what that's all about. And workshops that combine mindfulness, meditation, positive psychology, HR skills, and heart-brain practices. And then, again, I'm just reading this because it was phrased so perfectly. She helps people work through practical and mindful skills so that they can lead from the heart as effective, whole humans. She wants to create a kindness revolution. I love it. Yay. We need that. The world needs that. I just talk about that all the time, that if we just were mindful and knew what was going on and knew what our triggers were and knew ways to resolve them and look inside, there'd be no need for war. So we're definitely on the same path. So welcome again. I want you to tell us, what is a happiness coach? That was the phrase that just stood out for me when I was reading your bio. Tell us, what is that?
So it's a combination of really knowing who you are as a human, but also as a person having a spiritual connection to other people, your person, your passion, other people, nature, the world. What really makes you tick, being aware of that, and then how do you implement all of those bits of pieces that come to you, all of those people that bring different parts of you together, and connect that to live your soul purpose and enjoy life. Really, at the basis of it, it's how do you enjoy life? How do you enjoy your career, your work, your family, all the facets that makes you up as a human? And that holistic approach of work, life, everything in one whole, to be the happiest being that you can be. And there's a whole heap of different steps that we take people through to actually find out what makes them happy, and then how they can implement that in a really practical way and be aware of what's making them happy on a daily basis. Even, you know, every minute by minute, you can check in with yourself when you're first starting the process. So, yeah, it's really coaching people to get to know themselves better, but also about what really makes them feel good and really what sets their heart on fire and their heart and soul on fire. And that could be family, it could be friends, it could be their career, it could be hiking up a mountain. But it's really about what makes you feel whole
yeah.
human.
Yeah. I know this, when I did, oh. That's my new dog. Sorry about her.
That's okay. I've got my dog lying next to me too, so it's fine.
I explained to her she has to be quiet during the interview, but she obviously didn't listen.
She just wants to chat. She agrees. She thinks being happy is amazing. She's just chiming in.
Gigi, come here. She barks at our neighbor. So anyway.
She's so cute. What did she bring her over? Can you bring her over?
Gigi, come here. Come here. Come here.
I want to meet her because I didn't get to meet her last.
Come here, come here. You don't need to bark. It's okay. Anyway, I'll try to talk over her. What was I going to say? Oh, this might sound like a silly question.
But not at all.
How do you define happiness? What is that really about? You kind of gave some parameters about it. What is happiness to you? Gigi.
So happiness for me personally, or happiness
In general.
Okay. I think it is a, for, well, the feedback that I get from people, oh my gosh, she's adorable, stop. She just wanted to be on camera. Hey.
I know.
She's so cute. So happiness in general, people say it's when they feel really aligned, when they feel an energetic lightness, if that's a word. Mm-hmm. So feeling a light, but also light in the moment, being in flow, finding things that really you can get lost in. So not only in flow, but also in those moments where they feel like they could go forever, but then you also feel like time is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything because you're so engrossed in that moment and you're so in flow and aligned with who you are and what you're loving doing that you are feeling energetically light and happy and whole. I mean, really the thing that people really say to me is that wholeness, the whole humanness. I don't think you can also have happiness without having some sadness, because you're not always going to be up. If you were always up and always happy and always, you know, you'd be a little bit I don't know, frenetic. I don't think anyone can ever live. No one can live in that high state, that heightened state all the time. And I think it's about embracing feeling low sometimes, embracing feeling difficult times, embracing the darkness almost. So it's that the balance of light and dark, and being aware in those moments of how you're feeling, but then also being aware when you're feeling really good that the state of happiness is attainable. And I think sometimes we're in those low moments, it's hard to remember how we feel when we are feeling really happy and really joyful. But it's a, for me, it's about embracing the two heart. I mean, I keep doing this, but it's really like the wholeness, the wholeness of the human, the ups, the downs, the in-betweens. But I don't think personally you can have happiness without knowing how to embrace the darkness and work through that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I think that's a really beautiful way to understand happiness. It's interesting that I think most people think happiness is, well, when I have enough money or a new car or a new outfit, or, you know, it has something to do with externals. And that just isn't it. That's temporary. Right. You know, you're talking about a more inner sense of, wow, isn't it all amazing? Isn't it all perfect? Isn't it all just as it is, whether you're feeling sad? And I use two different words to describe it. I talk about happiness as, yeah, I get that the new car, it made me happy. But I talk about joy from an inner place where you know that everything is the way it's supposed to be. And it, no dependence on anything external at
all. The knowing. Do you think it's the knowing as well? I feel like when I'm super happy, there's this knowing, this deep sense of inside I feel balanced and I feel like I know this is exactly where I'm meant to be, doing exactly what I'm meant to be doing at that time, because you feel it in your body.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you were saying, by the way, she's a new dog. We've only had her for a week. We rescued her, and she's still kind of, you know, learning the ropes.
Settling in.
So I apologize for the
noise. I'm a complete animal person and dog person. Honestly, my dog's 16. She's laying down on the floor. She's got, I don't know, 1,000 rugs underneath her because she's so old and decrepit. But she's my first baby. She's my fur baby. So I'm such an animal person, so please don't. She's just super cute.
Yeah.
Super cute. Look at her. She's like,
she's quite a character, and she arrived in a very, very strange way. So I'll have to hear about that in a future episode because it's really remarkable. I just wrote a whole blog about how she found us. So it's really interesting.
She found a human.
So much happiness.
Happiness and happiness, that connection. So actually I forgot to mention, when I talk about being whole, it's almost the connection. I agree. It's the connection of the two halves. It's the connection to self and that knowing, and the connection to that knowing and that intuition and that gut feel that this is exactly what I'm meant to be doing with whom I'm meant to be doing it with.
Yes. And you were saying before that there are some steps that you take with people, and I don't want you to give away your whole program. Tell us some of those steps.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people do this step, but a lot of people still don't really do this step, but getting to know your values. So I did a few years ago, 2019, I did the Dare to Lead program, the Brené Brown Dare to Lead program. And one thing I found really powerful in that was the values assessment. And I'm not sure if many people have done their values or checked their values or had a look at what their values even are. So as part of what I do with the first step is when I start people on the program or we do a workshop, is we always start with a values assessment. So basically you'll have a list of all these values and you pick out your top three. And you're not allowed to pick any, I mean, some people you can say you can pick five, you can pick seven, but I think it's very powerful when you pick only three, because you have to truly choose three things that absolutely are non-negotiables in your life. When you align what you do, how you do it, where you do it, and with whom to those values, then this is the first step, really, I believe, to creating more happiness and more alignment in your life, because then everything will be centered around the things that are really important to you, like deeply important to you. So, and your values can change as you go through life. So in 2019, I did my values assessment. I then had completely different values at that time. A few things happened in my life. I did a values assessment again as I was starting to develop my own program. And it was really interesting to see, based on some of the experiences that I had gone through and some of the life changes and developments that had happened, how my values had shifted to different things. So, for instance, in 2019, travel was really, really important to me. And now it still is one of my, probably one of my top eight values, maybe. But now I'm far more grounded with my family, and travel is nowhere near as important. And so family became one of my more important values. And so that's one of the first steps, because if people can get to know where their values lie and what's super important to them, because often we don't spend time doing that. We think, oh, I like doing this, or I like doing that, or I enjoy this, or I don't enjoy doing that. But I think, and we've even done this with our kids, if you don't truly know what feels right from a values perspective, then you can't align yourself in work or in home or in relationships or life in general where you will feel completely happy, because you may work in a job that doesn't align with your values. So I've worked in jobs, and I'm sure everyone has, where you've kind of gone, oh, that just doesn't sit quite right with me, or I'm not really sure why this doesn't feel quite right, or, and it's usually a gut feel. Mm-hmm. And when you do the values assessment, or you have a look at your values and you select your top values, it's very easy to see workplace cultures that don't align with your values and why perhaps a particular job or workplace didn't work out for you, or why something really worked out for you and why you really enjoyed it, because it was in complete alignment with your values, the most important things to you. So that's the first step. And I've probably gone on a bit, because it is really important, because that almost lays the groundwork then for what you can put in place. So we then do some work on boundary setting. So not only physical boundaries, but energetic and emotional boundary setting, because a lot of people find that quite difficult, particularly with loved ones. And it's often where you find your energy leaks occurring in workplaces, in relationships, and with friends and at home, if you don't set clear boundaries and stick to those boundaries. And you can do them kindly. You don't have to be awful about it. You can just be very clear in your values.
Yeah.
And then you'd be very clear in your boundaries around what works for you, but also what keeps you healthy and what keeps you happy. Then we do a bit of work on intuition, so connecting to your gut. That's a really important part. So I incorporate meditation, mindfulness. I do a lot of forest bathing. So for me, being out in nature is really important, and that connection with nature. A lot of people who live in big cities or who live in suburbia don't often even step on grass very often, which I find really surprising, because I'm barefoot all the time. I'm barefoot now. But for me, one of the biggest things is to be happy, you need to, as we were talking about with connection with animals, so connection with nature and connection with the natural world, because, you know, we are all connected. And I think along the way we've kind of lost that in workplaces and in offices. You find there's no, you know, no greenery, no plants. And we're starting to see a little bit of that creeping back in post-COVID, particularly in the newer buildings. There's one that's been built in the state that I've just moved from, South Australia, and it's got these amazing green, like walls of greenery, and they've made living walls and a rooftop garden that people can go and, you know, take breaks in and that kind of thing. So certainly nature for me is a big part of happiness, because it connects you to you and the bigger picture, the world and everyone else and the energy of that. So yeah, and then there's quite a few different things. I have about 8 modules. Sometimes I'll stretch it to 10, but I like to kind of not, you know, overwhelm people in the program because there's a lot. We go quite deep. But yeah, there's some key bits and pieces that we do through the 10 months. So
I love when you talk about values. There's something about that word. I mean, sure, we all kind of know what our values are, but I think there's something important about that in terms of our focus. You know, even as we were talking, I was thinking, well, my values have completely changed. My husband had a stroke 8 years ago, and everything in my life changed, especially my values. I didn't even really put it together in that kind of a context. So tell us a little bit more about values and what that really means to you.
Yeah, well, values for me, well, they're kind of my North Star, to be honest. If I feel that I am moving in a direction that's not aligned to my values, because I'm so connected to what I need intuitively now, I will notice straight away if something feels off or if something feels uncomfortable. But I also know intuitively if something's good for me and feels right. So like when we met and reaching out to you, I kind of went, I just need to reach out to Royce. I don't know why. And
I needed to reach back and I didn't know why either. So
Yeah. And so for me, it's almost when you see someone or you hear them talk or you you meet them and you feel their energy and they align with who you are from a values perspective, then you'll meet and you'll connect on a really deep level. If someone's values are over here, and you often have this in workplaces, so I mean obviously my passion is for workplace well-being, and so it's really interesting when you bring in the values for people, because you've often got people who are over here and people who are over here and some up here and some down here and some are completely different and they might be working in the same team. So how do you then find common ground within a team that might be completely different? And so a values assessment is really, really interesting, because if you can share with people what your values are, then they can understand who you are as a human on a deeper level, and that can then enable you to connect on a deeper level as well, and to become more productive, to become more understanding, more empathetic, because we don't all have the same values. We're all different humans. We might have similar values and we might be attracted to an industry or a sector or a business that aligns with our values, so we do have similar values to people, but we all have different life experiences. And so values for me have been a game changer, really, in life and work. And so my husband has done his values assessment and we had quite different values to start with, and then we've been together, I don't know, married, what are we, I should know, 11 years together, about 12 years, but his values have changed as well and ours have kind of become closer. So we actually have our top three, two are the same now. And so I think when we talk about the importance of values and knowing what our values are and then talking about what our values are and sharing that with people, people can better understand where we're coming from, why we might have a perspective on something in a particular way, why we might be trying to solve a problem or speak to someone, you know, in a way that might not make sense to us because that's not how we would deal with it. But if we understand where they're coming from and then come at it with empathy, open-heartedness, and want to listen, then that's where the connection part comes in and that's where the power is. It's amazing. I don't know. I could talk about this all night. So.
I love it. That's fine. I'm sitting here, my brain is going because I'm thinking, I have a couple of thoughts going in my head. The first one is, don't we really all underneath it all have the same values? I mean, isn't it about being who we are, survival, loving, you know, like those real core values?
No. And that's the interesting part, excuse me, is there are so many when I will go and have a look on Brené Brown's website. I'm not affiliated with that at all, but I just it had such a huge impact on me. Mm-hmm. On her website, there's actually a list of values, and you can do a free, you know, you just have a look at the list of values, and it's just a list of words. And no, we don't all have the same values. Mm. But I think we're attracted to people, and we feel more comfortable with people who have similar or the same values. So people who have very different values might be the ones that, you know, rub you up the wrong way a bit, or they might. So say, for instance, one of the values could be money, for instance, or it could be fame, or it could be family. You might see someone and you see what they post online and you go, oh, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Or that makes me feel a bit uncomfortable, or I'm not really sure why this makes me feel a bit strange, but I don't really like that vibe or that energy. That person probably has completely different values to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is those are kind of the superficial values. Like my value used to be, like you said, traveling. And now that I can't travel because of my husband, I've shifted that. But what's underneath that is my value is being connected with him, doing what I do. That sort of thing. It's like a deeper level of value system that goes on underneath that. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
So core values. So within that values list, because it is quite extensive, there are some that I would, yes, class as probably deeper level. So connection, love, kindness. And then you've probably got your, you know, travel, career. But some people do, to be honest, some people probably do value something like career over, say, love.
Right.
So you might find that your core value is, or a couple of them are core, it might be connection and love. Someone else's core values might not be that at all. It might be money, and their sole purpose is to make as much money as they possibly can make. And it might not come from a place of love, because that doesn't align with them deeply. It's a really interesting topic, though. I think it's a really interesting perspective to think what is a superficial value and what is a core value. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you pick the three, it's almost – what are the three things that are of, like, you can't live without, and that you couldn't function without having them as part of your everyday life?
Okay. All right. Well, it's just about time to take a break here. I am talking with Sophie. I think I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Breitag.
Yeah, Breitag, yes, you are. Well done.
We are talking about kindness and happiness and values and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And stay tuned, because we'll talk some more and we'll be right back.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself. Invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. Transform your life from triggered to empowered with the Perfect Life Awakening program. Royce Morales's extraordinary, enlightening, spiritually based teachings that get to the core of subconscious underlying motivations driving your life. With more than four decades as a transformational facilitator and author, Royce Morales offers ways to awaken your deserving, authentic existence, free from paralyzing issues, repetitive patterns, and programmed fears, while simultaneously awakening your spiritually aware, higher consciousness, purposeful self. Perfect Life Awakening offers remote group classes and one-on-one sessions to explore even deeper levels. Check out Royce Morales' books, Want, True Love, Past Lives, and Other Complications, Know, A Spiritual Wake-Up Call, and Back, Rebirth After Stroke. Learn more about Perfect Life Awakening and Royce Morales. Visit RoyceMorales.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's one in five daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. I have sent my wonderful little fuzzy friend over to be with her dad. So hopefully she'll let us have a little calmer interview here. And I just got a note from the engineer saying that he loved the growl at the end.
I know. I was just like, it was perfect timing as well. She was like, bye.
Let's go wake up my dad.
Oh my gosh, she was so cute. She's
so funny. So welcome back, Sophie Bree Tagg. And thanks, we were talking about values and happiness and all those things that you are helping other people get in touch with. And I have another burning question. You talk about being kind in the workplace and how you help people do that in a leadership position, because that's your area of expertise. What do you mean by kindness? I know these sound like such silly questions, but to me, what do you mean by kindness? And how do you motivate people to be kind when there's just so much anger and rage and violence in the world? How do you do that?
Yeah, such a good question. Because people say to me, I don't understand this kind thing that you talk about. It's, isn't it just being nice to people? And honestly, kindness and niceness seem to be interchangeable to a lot of people, but they're actually completely different.
Oh, good. Okay.
Words, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, because niceness for me is about not having boundaries, not staying true to yourself, not being empathetic and open-hearted, not voicing your needs and bending to make other people happy or to placate them. When I talk about kindness, it's completely different. So kindness comes from being boundaried, from knowing who you are, from being able to listen and truly hear. So ask questions and listen, rather than asking questions and just keeping going with your own agenda. It's about intuitively connecting to who you are deep inside to be able to show up bravely and courageously every day so that people can be led by an example of an open-hearted leader. It is so many different things that people often think are weaknesses, and yet they drive trust, psychological safety, happiness, and a sense of calm and connection. So for me, the two words are completely different, but I wanted to start with that, I guess, because there's been actually quite a lot of talk lately that I've been seeing on LinkedIn actually talking about kindness and kind leadership. And you're right. I think the world has forgotten how to be vulnerable and being too scared to perhaps be vulnerable and open-hearted, and at times, particularly in the business world and in organisations, I feel that so many times, particularly as a female leader, that we have felt that we have, and I've felt it myself, that we have to, you know, be rude or be tough or work huge amount of hours to not be overly emotional, to, you know, be suited up in the male equivalent of a suit, a masculine suit. And kind leadership and bringing that into a workplace is not an easy transition. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's a whole mindset shift, mm-hmm. of how can we show up authentically as ourselves. So you look at me and I don't look like your traditional kind of human resource consultant. I go into businesses and I look exactly like I look now. I've got my wear lots of jewelry and, you know, headscarves and colour. And but I think if you can lead by example as a leader for who you are from the heart, and you show up bravely as you, then people will feel safer to be themselves, and they will feel more comfortable to actually be vulnerable and connect on a deeper level with people. Sorry, I've just got my dog who's just wandering around, just making sure people watch. I've given her nighttime medication, but she seems to be a bit of a night owl with me. She's a bit out of, because I'm up. Normally she's laying by the bed. We've got dog stuff tonight, haven't we both?
Yes, or you do.
So for me, it's a process. And so making that culture shift, making that change in workplaces, in organisations, in businesses, and look, not every business is going to want to do this. This is not going to resonate with every business, because there are going to be some businesses that they think profit before people, and that will never change. But I'm not here to, with my kindness revolution, I'm not here to change every single business and every single person. But what I want to do is create a ripple effect where we have people showing up within organisations who are brave, who are heart leaders, who care about people, who openly speak about love and kindness and happiness and joy and all of the things that are seen as this, you know, the soft stuff, but really are the superpowers, because that's what makes us human. And so embracing that whole humanness in workplaces, that's how we make the shift, that's how we make the change. And it might only be really small incremental changes, but, you know, that's how we turn a ship.
Yeah.
Step by step.
Yeah. Oh, yay. Work. I'm just
there's a lot of work, but I love it. I love it.
That's something that ends up happening for people when they do the inner work that, you know, that I do and that lots of people are doing. And I just think it's beautiful that you've differentiated between niceness versus kindness. Because what I heard was niceness is, you know, putting on that sweet face and pretending that you care and being nice because you were taught to be nice, but inside you want to murder them, you know?
Did I say you want to strangle them? No, I'm joking. Did I say that out loud? No.
Exactly. Yeah. And kindness, again, kind of like what we were talking about before, the difference between joy versus happiness. Kindness, yes, just seems like it's from a real place. It's from truly feeling compassion, not trying to feel compassion because you're supposed to. Yeah.
Yes, and I love that way that you've just explained that. You probably explained it far better than I did. But I feel that it's the – well, no, because you kind of put it in a nutshell. It was great. I feel that if you truly show up for who you are, some people won't like that still, but it's about showing up anyway, because that's being kind to you. So there's, you know, self-kindness – is just as important as kindness to other people. So are you showing up for you so that you can stay as aligned and healthy and well in life and work, you know, as well?
I find that to the degree that we can be kind to ourselves or to love ourselves fully is the degree that we can be kind and love others. I mean, it's a complete, total what's the word?
Balance. Well, it's almost like an energetic exchange, isn't it? The more you give yourself, the more you can give out.
Yes.
It's almost like feed yourself first energetically and emotionally, and then you can then feed others and support others.
Yeah. So I have more questions.
I love this. Yeah, go.
I'm looking here because there's so many questions that I want to ask you. I guess the one that comes to mind intuitively, forgetting my notes, is my number one primary purpose in what I do is helping people love themselves so they can truly love others. And getting to the origins where they've stopped loving themselves and they've stopped feeling deserving of love is the key as far as I'm concerned with the work that I do. But I look around and I think, God, there's how many billions of people on this planet, you know, and I'm reaching a handful and you're reaching however many you're reaching, but are we going to be able to accomplish it? I mean, I know that the world is changing. I've talked about that before in my blogs and on shows that I do, and I know that things are shifting and I know that we're going through an evolutionary transformation on this planet. I see it so clearly, but come on.
It's hard. Look, it's a big job. Do you know what? And I think that's the thing as well, Royce, is the more that people like you and I can connect and have these types of discussions, that's creating the ripple effect. And do I feel overwhelmed by the enormity of the, you know, the changes and the revolution that I'm trying to create? Absolutely. Do I feel like I can't do it some days? Absolutely. But I keep showing up anyway, just like you are. Because you have a deep knowing like I do that what you're doing is of the utmost importance and service to the world. By giving of yourself and by having these discussions and by reaching out and meeting new people and doing the work that you're doing and the work that I'm doing, we can make change because, I don't know, energetically, like we talk about feeding ourselves emotionally and energetically, the more that we can give, the more then that those people can give to other people. And we might not see the knock-on effect of that. We might, but I think it's a big purpose.
Yes.
But the fact that you keep showing up every day and doing it and speaking about it and thinking about it and loving hard on that passion and purpose, that will make the change. Yeah. And it might not be in a lifetime, you know. It might be in the next lifetime.
I know. We might not see that. I'm holding on to that.
When you come back. Mm-hmm. You can chase up some more.
Yes, and I expect things to be better the next time when I come back.
Me
here.
Too.
Hear
too.
That?
You put in your order.
Right, yeah. I think actually what you described a few minutes ago, I think I actually talked about that in my last show. I call it the 100th monkey theory, or it is called the 100th monkey theory, which is that, have you heard about that?
No, talk me through it.
I love it. And it's a true story. There was an island somewhere, and a bunch of monkeys lived on this island, and they were all eating their food every day happily. And then all of a sudden, one of the monkeys decided to go wash his food, whatever it was, a fruit of some kind. He goes to the river, washes it, and eats it. Simultaneously, on a neighboring island, a bunch of monkeys start washing their food. And I think that's the best example of the connected consciousness that we have on this planet, that when one person gets it, lots of people get it. I mean, I can see on all my social media accounts, there's so many people doing comparable things that we're doing, you know, trying to change the consciousness of the world. So it's happening. It's happening.
It's a big ship though. Let's be honest. It's a big ship to
it's
turn.
Huge.
But by showing up and doing that, I love that theory because it's monkey see, monkey do. When you put yourself out there, when you keep doing it, when you keep believing that what you're doing is of service and is important, people will see that and people will want to do it too because they'll realize that it makes people feel good and it heals.
We only have a few minutes left, but I'm noticing that on your bio, you talk about working in with sectors of people that are taking care of other people, aged care, healthcare, first responders. I'm my husband's caregiver, so that's a whole realm of things that I knew nothing about. And I'm actually working on a journal right now that's going to help caregivers. So tell us a little bit about what that means to you.
It's a heart-driven purpose for me. So I worked in the aged care sector for 7 years in human resources, and my husband is a police officer as well. So, and then I've got friends who are nurses and care workers and healthcare workers. So what I have seen and what I have seen via my hubby and friends and family who work in those roles are the people who take care of other people, particularly the vulnerable people. So the ones in the disability sector, aged care, you know, even ambulance drive, like ambulance, ambos, paramedics, childcare workers even, you know, teachers. You've got so many people who are giving, give. How are they taking care of themselves? And I've seen so many people burn out because they keep showing up for the people within those areas of work or home, or they're a private caregiver for a, you know, a loved one or a family member with a disability, or they've got they're an aging parent. So for me, the passion is around how do I help support those people who are supporting other people who are vulnerable or who are unwell, because they're the ones that burn out. They're dealing with trauma, and I know this is, you know, for you super part of what you do, but how do you compartmentalize that amount of giving and that amount of trauma that you might see within your job, or the tiredness that you might experience, or the emotional depletion of giving because you care so much about who you're taking care of. So when I saw leaders burning out within the aged care sector, but I also saw the residents potentially suffering at the end of that because the workers were burning out. So when you're not being, you know, taking care of yourself first and foremost as a carer, you're going to be more tired. So you're not going, you're going to make more mistakes. Likely to make more mistakes at work. You're going to be snappier. You're maybe going to have more sick leave. So that then leaves the shifts short for the other people who are still turning up for the shifts, which then puts residents at risk or people at risk at the end of that care because you've not got as many people who are working. That roster might not be covered. So it has this massive knock-on effect of then those people who come into the workplace who are already emotionally and physically depleted going home then to take care of their own aging parents or their own child or, you know, somebody that they love, and they don't have anything in the tank left. From my husband's perspective, being a police officer, he actually suffered a full breakdown about four or five years ago now, and was hospitalized with something called global transient amnesia. And we didn't know what it was at the time, but basically he lost his memory, short-term memory for 3 days. And so, and we didn't know if he would get it back at the time. But that was a stress response. And so basically the body was just going into protection mode because he couldn't compartmentalize any more trauma, but also the shift work had really affected him. So we often negate the fact that a lot of people who are caregivers are working in 24/7 environments, so they're not getting appropriate rest and recuperation. So my passion is to then help people put things in place to support them within workplaces and make sure that the workplaces are actually supporting the well-being and the emotional regulation and well-being and mental health. And mental health's massive passion of mine, mentally healthy workplaces. But yeah, how do the workplaces then support the people to be whole humans emotionally and physically at work? Because it's for the best outcome of the person who's working in the role, the business itself, but also the people at the end of that service delivery as well. So, yeah, it's really close to my heart.
Wow. As you're talking, I'm thinking when my husband had his stroke 8 years ago, I started doing a lot of inner delving about why I needed to go through that. And I discovered so many interesting reasons on a karmic level and a past life level and an inner growth level. I mean, I wrote a whole book about it.
Yes. Yes. And, I can't wait to read your books, actually. I was looking at them and I was like, oh, I need to grab them.
The one that I wrote about that is just fascinating because I talk about every single day that we were in the hospital, I was posting on Facebook and I was telling people what we were going through, but I'd always leave it with a spiritual message at the end. It's like, well, this is why I'm going through this, you know? Yeah. And people got so much value from that. It's interesting, but I think that there's some, again, part of what I'm here to do for people is to wake them up to look deeper at things.
Yes.
I mean, if I hadn't looked deeper at why I needed to go through this with the man that I love, we were married for 30 years, you know, I don't think I could have gone through it. Do you ever do that with any of your people? Do you have them look deeper at, well, why do you think you chose this or set this up or attracted this, or whatever term you want to use? Do you ever do that with people?
I don't probably do that deep because that for me, I'm not trained in a latent trauma response and being able to work through that with people. However, things do come up invariably as we're doing the work, particularly when we do, I do a lot of visualization with meditation and connection to inner self. So when we do that work, often emotions and situations that have affected people or that people aren't even aware of are there can often rise to the surface, and I just work them through the breath work. And so I do it more on perhaps a physical level rather than dealing with the actual trauma response, because that's not my area of expertise. But then I refer them to someone such as yourself who can actually work them through if there's anything that comes up that the person feels like they can't, you know, work through themselves. And so my husband's had a lot of support through a psychologist and a psychiatrist, and he meditates multiple times a day like me now, and our kids meditate. So, you know, it's been life-changing for us even to have gone through that process.
Wow.
And it was very healing in the end. Yeah.
Wow. A meditating police officer. I love it.
Yes. Yes. A non-alcohol drinking, meditating, and exercising police officer. He's probably quite unusual.
Does he tell his buddies that
he's meditating? Yes, he does actually. Yeah, all the time. And he tries to tell people, because we use Insight Timer and the Calm app, and he's always telling people, oh, mate, because he leads a team, he's leading a team at the moment. And when he started with the team, one of the blokes was having a problem with his own mental health, like struggling a bit with his anxiety. And my hubby goes, oh, mate, you need to get onto this app. It's amazing. And you need to just go to this meditation teacher because that'll teach you how to do meditation. It's so easy and it'll be life-changing.
Wow.
He talks about it all the time. Yeah. Not shy. Not shy.
That's awesome. Yay. It's good to know. So we only have a couple more minutes. And just maybe tell us where people can reach you or what is available to them from you. And just,
and do it quickly. No, so I am really active on LinkedIn, as you know. LinkedIn's probably one of my favorite platforms. So if people want to connect with me, they can do so under my name, so Sophie Breitag on LinkedIn. I have a website, so metaleaders.com.
About to launch M-E-T-T-A.
Yep.
M-E-T-T. What does meta mean?
Loving kindness. So leaders who lead with love and kindness is really my thing. I'm about to launch a podcast, which I'm very excited to be doing, and that will be launched in the next couple of months. So keep an eyeball out for that. And I'm on Instagram under Meta Leaders as well. So really just doing a lot of giving back to community and a lot of, you know, talks at mental health conferences. And that's really my, you know, kindness and mental health, they go hand in hand.
Yes. And something I did not mention about you is that you, wait, it's in my notes somewhere, you were elected to or chosen as somebody to watch, a woman to watch? What is that?
A woman to watch. Yeah. So it was people who, or women. So it was an Australian award. We've got 1 minute. It was an Australian award, and I was in a finalist, and it was women to watch who are changing the world for positive. So yeah, on a mission to change the world. Yeah. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sophie. Oh, this has really been so delightful. Lovely. I'm sorry about the dog interruption, but it all kind of worked out. And I look forward to staying in touch with you on wherever you're at.
Same with you.
Yes, and thank you all so much for listening. And I will see you in a couple of weeks on this station. And I'll be talking to another really fascinating, he's a lawyer and a psychic. So
that should be great. I'll be on to that. Yeah, I'll be hunting that down. That's an interesting mix.
Keep up the good work. Yay.
Thanks. I'm so grateful. Thanks, Royce. Thanks for having me. It's been beautiful. Thank you. Really appreciate it.